This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Please join me on...
Good morning, America, and welcome to America's Web Radio. This is the number one show in the world, not just on the website, but in the world, because it's the only one like it, called Dan and Dave. And I've got the best partner a guy could have. Dan is on the other line and calling in from the left coast, and, you know, we may have some big problems coming our way, Dan, with all that's going on. It's just absolutely incredible. How you doing this morning?
I'm tired, but, you know, long weekend. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Happy post-Valentine's Day.
And what is today? Happy President's Day. Means the slack offs at the post office are not delivering again. But, you know, their day must be President's Day every day for me, because they don't deliver the mail right ever in a year and a half.
Well, maybe they think you're a president. You know, they're just honoring you.
Ah, so they just don't deliver my mail. Well, we know that it gets delivered to other places. It gets delivered to the landlord across the... in the other building across from mine. It gets delivered to my neighbor. If I'm lucky, it gets delivered to my neighbors in the same building, because they're kind enough to bring it up right away. But a lot of the time, as we've found, it just gets delivered right back to the person that sent it to me. And that's with or without the right address.
Well, there used to be a song in the 60s, Return to Sender.
That was Elvis Presley.
I guess that's what the post... Yeah, I thought it was a female singer, but
it was Elvis Presley.
Yeah,
look at it. Google it. Google it. I know.
I know.
So anyway.
My fingers aren't working yet this morning.
Well, we had a, I don't want to say exciting, but we had a news-filled weekend, which consumed everything, it would seem like. Everything on television, anyway, was... around the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. And, you know, it's a sad situation where the guy isn't even laid to rest, and the politicians are like Jaws. They're coming out of the water. It's a feeding frenzy on who's got the power, who's going to be able to dominate with the power. It just goes on and on. And I must say, I got real tired of it, watching it, the news on Saturday, and then I just couldn't watch anymore. I couldn't watch, you and I talked about it, I couldn't watch the debate Saturday night.
It was a hard weekend to watch TV. I watched the Republican debate, and unfortunately, it turned into mud wrestling.
Yeah,
didn't have much to do with politics. They, at the beginning of the debate, they talked about Scalia and, of course, how great a man he was, and the fact that Obama shouldn't be allowed to choose a successor. It was a hard weekend for news. I agree.
I don't know if you... Well, it's still early where you are, but I've been watching the news today, and it's very interesting. Schuller, who I can't stand, he came out strongly that it's just, you know, as a senator, he's not going to let somebody like Ted Cruz block... a nomination and this and that. He was just beating his chest as hard as he could beat it, and that they don't have the right to do it, and I know, and yada da 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 da, and just on and on. And then Fox showed a clip of him in 2012, I believe it was, where he had just totally, or no, I guess it was earlier than that. It would have had to have been in 2008 or 2007, while Bush was still in, that they were totally, as a Senate, they were totally opposed to Bush nominating anybody for any position because he was a lame duck and he only had a year to go. And it's like, man speak with forked tongue. When it's in his favor, he seems to speak one way. When it's in someone else's favor, he speaks the other way. And I hope Fox plays that back on Shuler over and over and over again. Well, you want it one way when you're in power, but you want it a different way when you're not in power.
Yeah, but don't you agree that the president has the right to nominate a Supreme Court justice to replace Scalia?
Well, that's law. No, as far as today goes, yes, he has every right in the world to do it. And the Senate has every right in the world not to block it, you know, to not even bring it to the floor.
Okay. Now, is that the Senate that does that or the House of Representatives?
Senate. Senate approves all presidential appointments.
Okay.
And so they're going to play the Democratic game, which the Democrats played it on the Republicans many times. Harry Reid was the one that did it the most, of not bringing issues to the floor to be voted on. So this issue of an appointment, a presidential nominee, will not be brought to the floor of the Senate.
It almost seemed to me that when the president announced Scalia's death, that he had already written his list of candidates.
yeah, you're right.
I'm sure that's not true, but it just seemed that way by the tone of his voice.
Well, it's my duty. I was talking to a good friend this morning, earlier, obviously, and he and I are the same age, as you and I are about the same age, and I think this is the only reason Trump is doing, in my opinion, doing as well as he's doing, is that people are just absolutely fed up, sick of politics, and you know there is no cooperation at all between the two parties, if there are really two parties, and I don't know how you feel, but I've had a gutful of it, and you know.
Well, let's talk about some alternatives. We could move to Australia.
No, I think the alternative is to get people in that really care about our country and will get something done on both sides of the aisle. And these liberal assholes that think that they should have a free ride, they got to get a life and realize that the government owes them nothing. Me as a taxpayer owes them nothing. You know, and
I think Bernie feels like he actually has a plan that would help America. I think he's doing what he says comes from his heart.
Well, he may be all well and good, but he keeps leaving out one big detail in his plan that you and I have talked about. Who's paying for it? His plan can't be paid for. I mean, it's economically, financially, mathematically, any other L-Y, it can't be paid for. There's not enough money floating in and out of the Treasury to pay for it. It would just put us...
Well, okay, let's narrow this down just a little bit. Would you vote for Bernie if his plan could be paid for? If you felt like his plan could be paid for? Did I lose you?
No, I was thinking, would I vote for him?
Yes.
No, but probably not for the reason that you think. I have not heard him. All I've heard from the clippets that I've seen of Bernie is free, 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 and free. I have not heard him talk about what he would do with the terrorist. I have not heard him approach the immigration situation. Obviously, he would be pro-abortion, pro-Planned Parenthood, which I'm not. So, I guess to answer your question, no. I would want someone that, you know, not just give it away, but also has a plan to protect us. And the last thing, reason that I would probably not vote for him is, quite frankly, his age. You know, I don't think, you know, Scalia was 5 years older than Sanders. But again, I know a lot of people that don't make it to 74. Now, he may last to 100, but you or I don't know. And I don't see the potential of electing a person at 74 that would be 78. Well, he'd be older than that. He'd be 79, Scalia's age.
How old is Trump? Trump is 68, 69?
Something, 68, I think. But I wouldn't swear it. I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
But, did you hear me say I was voting for Trump? I missed that.
No. I wouldn't accuse you of that. I just brought up the other guy in the election that is of age also, but he's about our age.
Yeah.
Trump is about our age.
Which I'd rather have someone.
One thing about Sanders is, if he keeps saying bad things about Hillary, he may not live long anyway.
Well, I think
he could die prematurely any time.
I think Hillary, and this is only, again, my opinion, I think the lady knows that she's in deep poo-poo and, you know, is trying to put, quote-unquote, the good face on. But anyway, I think she has her problems, big-time problems. As I've said on the show many times, Biden will be the Democratic nominee, and
and Vice President Biden has been very quiet lately as far as any news reports. I'm sure he's doing something, but very quiet.
Well, he knows if he opens his mouth and anybody quotes him, it'll screw up, so his best option is to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, he's been told, look, we're going to make you president, just don't say anything.
Yeah. You know, he could screw it up with hand signs, I bet, but
maybe.
Anyway, so it's going to be.
But I think they all could. You know, after the debate, the Republican debate, I think any of them could screw this thing up.
You know, it's
Kasich was the only gentleman on the stage, other than, well, Ben Carson is always a gentleman.
But they have to wheel him in, don't they?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Gentle Ben. I think he's taken Gentle Ben to the extreme. Okay, with that said, we've got a guest calling in, hopefully at 10:30. But right now we're going to have to stop for a minute. We'll be back with the Dan and Dave Show, starring Dan, right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving three right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com. The pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and... Oops, there's no Dan at the other end of the line right now. We had a little... he was having the playing a 78 on a 45 or a 33 record. I don't know, something. But anyway, he was getting a lot of static. So he's calling back in a moment. And, you know... I grew up in Texas, and only under the Lyndon Johnson administration, or when he was in power in Texas, would I believe any of the stuff that's going on. But I have some experience with folks in Texas, and dead folks in Texas, as a matter of fact. And as far as I knew, and we want to ask our guests about this when he comes on, as far as I knew, any death that occurred outside of a hospital required an autopsy. End of statement. To my knowledge, even if it was in a nursing home, any place but a hospital, it was an automatic autopsy for cause of death. And yet, here Scalia dies on a ranch in Texas. The rancher, the owner that came, found the body or was there, you know, has come out with the statement too that Scalia had a pillow over his head, which is a little strange unto itself. But the justice of the peace saying there was no need for an autopsy and letting the body go back to D.C. for burial, and I assume they prepared the body for shipping and so forth. I don't know. I don't mean to sound conspiratorial. I don't mean anything other than it is all sort of strange. I'm not sure where the other half of this program is. I don't know where Dan is coming back, but it's taking him an exorbitant amount of time to call back in. But anyway, it's something to think about, and there are other people that are questioning. I know on Facebook and Twitter and some of the other other social medias, there are people questioning, asking about the fact of, you know, why was an autopsy not performed? I'm not a doctor. I don't know if after the body has been embalmed, I assume that they can go back and find, you know, a cause of death or information. They do on television, so I assume they do it in person as well. But I don't know if this is going to take place in Washington or not. If I were the family, I would demand an autopsy to find out what the cause of death was. But I guess time will tell. There's certainly a lot of other people asking the question, so we'll see what happens. So, with that being said, where's Dan? I don't know where Dan is. He's lost in space, I suppose. I don't know why he'd be having trouble calling back in, but it may have been his telephone or his line as opposed to the conference line. Anyway, we're glad to have you listening in to the Dan and Dave Show, and at 10:30 this morning, 10:30 Eastern Time, if all works right, we should have an attorney calling in, and who is a constitutional attorney, and we wanted to talk to him about what this means. And there's already, they politicized it, the death of Justice Scalia, and it looks like a real brouhaha is about to start up. Only time will tell. We keep getting reports. I'm sure everyone like myself heard that over 500 more emails have been released by the Department of State, and it's not looking good for old Hillary. You can only cover up so much, and I don't think the blanket's big enough to cover up everything that she's done, and that it will ultimately, an indictment will have to come about. And this is where I get my theory that Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee. And if he is, then I think there will be so many people that are basically fence sitters that haven't decided but will vote, that they'll go for old Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe will take care of us, and we have nothing to worry about with Joe. He makes a few flubs, but he's really an okay guy at that. So time will tell. But remember, I said it first here on America's Web Radio, on the Dan and Dave Show, that Joe Biden would be our next president. How bad is that? I think he's as liberal, stupid, but as liberal as any of the other Democrats. He may not be a communist like Bernie Sanders, but I think he's certainly as liberal as Obama, liberal as Clinton, and will only do more harm to our country. I don't give Joe a lot of credit for gray matter between the ears, so it's sort of scary thinking of whose advice he might be taking if he becomes president, and where does that leave us? Very scary situation. Time will tell. I think the important thing is what's going to happen in the next few days, literally next few days, if Obama tries to put a nomination up. It is, again, and I'm not an attorney, not a doctor, not an attorney, just a poor old radio station owner. It is going to be interesting to see if the Senate rejects or just doesn't bring to the floor the nomination presented by Obama and what Obama thinks he can do about it. As long as, and it would still be a recess nomination, I don't think, I want to ask, I'm not an attorney, I want to ask and ask the questions, if this, then that, if this, then what. But as long as the Senate stays in session of some sort, Obama can send as many nominees as he wants, but they don't. The Senate doesn't have to do anything with them. I was concerned that they would be in recess after the first of the year in 2017, and that he could still do something between when they come back in, if they go into, if they're in recess, and there is a new new Senate and new members of the Senate, if anything could be done, or if he could push his way or push his nomination while they were out for the Christmas holidays. But from what I understand, they come back on the first of the year, or they can, and if they don't recess for Christmas holiday, then he's really still dead in the water. But we want to clear up all of this. That's why we got an attorney coming on that hopefully can shed some light on this and help us all out, help us understand and the pressure that we need to put on to get something going or something started or something. So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss Hillary a little bit, and that will be the Dan and Dave show. That's what we're focused on. We want to not take advantage of the news, which was Scalia dying, but also pass on, not that it will get to him, but we have certainly been saddened by his death. I did find out something interesting, and I thought I was just a constitutionalist. But I guess the proper term, and I love it, I love it, it's an originalist. And that's what they have titled Scalia as, an originalist, meaning that he adhered to the original Constitution. And, you know, I've gotten in many arguments, particularly since I've had the radio station, with liberals that say, oh, no, we have a living Constitution, and it's the Supreme Court's duty to bring it up to date and take the words and transition them into whatever's happening today, and that it should be a living Constitution. Well, I've always disagreed with it. I've never seen a copy of the Constitution breathe. If I ever did see one take a breath, it would scare the hell out of me. But I've never seen the Constitution breathe. I don't think it can. I like what it says, and that's the end of the story. If it says black is black, then that's the way it is. We don't really need to try to read between the lines. There are no lines to read between. It's black and white. It says what's on the mind, was on the founder's mind. If there is any ambiguity to it, then at that point it's a state's issue, or to some extent can be that of the Supreme Court. We're going to take a break, find out where Dan went, and we'll be back right after a couple of messages.
Quick Stakes, that's Q-U-I-K Stakes, are not just for surveyors. They are great for family and community gardens. Go online to www.quickstake.com or contact your local land surveying supply dealer and get you a box of Quick Stakes. You'll love them every year when you plant your garden. Again, that's Quick Stakes, Q-U-I-K Stakes, the truly preferred way to stake and identify what's in your garden now.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show, and we've got our guest on, attorney Robert D'Agostino. And Bob and I go back many years now, and he knows there's Dan. He finally got back in. I assume that's Dan.
Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, just fine. I didn't know what had happened to you. We've got Dan, Robert D'Agostino on, and we're going to talk to him about the Scalia case, obviously.
Oh, great. Yeah, good.
And, Robert, as I was saying, I have never heard of, except under the Lyndon Johnson regime, many laws or many questionable things happened in Texas. But in this case, with Scalia being of importance that he was, and it wasn't, I'm not trying to be sound conspiratorial or anything, but on a ranch found by one of the ranch hands initially, and then the ranch hand got the owner of the ranch, and he was basically pronounced dead of natural causes there on the ranch without anybody, to my knowledge, really checking it out. And I've never heard of a justice of the peace having the power to say there will not be an autopsy, when my knowledge says that if you die in Texas any place but a hospital, it is automatic for an autopsy. What do you think, Robert? And by the way, welcome to Dan and Dave, the Dan and Dave Show.
Well, I just don't know what the law in Texas is about that. I certainly, a lot of cases an autopsy would be automatic if there weren't death in a hospital. But, you know, on the other hand, Scalia has been known to want to retire for a number of years, and he was hanging in there in the hopes that a Republican would be elected president. I think if Mitt Romney had been elected president, Scalia would have left the court sometime in the last few years. But he was hanging in there because, for the sake of the country, he did not want Obama to get the nomination. So, I'm not one to go in conspiracies, especially if Clintons are not in the White House. But the who knows? I mean, the answer is the key is that he's not there, and I have no doubt that Obama will attempt to appoint a Supreme Court justice. He'll nominate a justice, Supreme Court justice. The real issue is, will he do a recess appointment? I mean, the Democrats are on record when there's a Republican president named George Bush that the president should not make a recess appointment for a Supreme Court justice. Now, there's a Democrat in there, I'm sure the Democrats will figure out a way that, that only applies when there's a Republican president. It's okay to make a recess appointment when there's a Democratic president. So we'll see what happens. I kind of think Obama will make a recess appointment to the Supreme Court and sometime in the fairly near future, and we'll see what happens. Now, obviously, the recess appointment is only good for as long as the Senate's in recess, which they are right now.
So can it be called back into session at any time?
Well, yeah, the Senate can be called back into session. Absolutely, that's it has been in the past. I don't know when it's scheduled back into session, but it certainly can be called back into session. We'll see what happens. I'm sure that Obama will wait till after the funeral, and then
the battle will be on. My guess is he will nominate an extreme liberal leftist, actually a progressive. I always make a distinction between progressives and liberals, and someone that has a some sort of a constituency other than the progressives, like a minority of some sort. There's certainly a justice of the Court of Appeals in the D.C. Circuit who's of Indian descent. He may nominate him. There's another justice, female justice, that has mixed race descent. And so Obama, you know, it's not about playing the race card or the ethnic card or what have you in order to get his way.
So how far can he get his way? Can he literally get somebody that could be there the next 30 years, or can the Senate step up and really block him in any way?
Well, of course the Senate can block him. First of all, there'd be confirmation hearings, which could last several weeks, which is not uncommon.
But do they even have to bring it to the floor?
No, they don't really have to bring it to the floor if he doesn't clear the committee. But you never know. The Republicans are well known as the political cowards, so who knows what will happen. I always call the Republican Party the party of the stupid party. They're both politically stupid, and they don't have the courage of their own convictions, so they're politically cowards. So I don't know what they'll do. On the other hand, the Supreme Court nominations are still subject to the filibuster rule, and there's no question there's enough Republican senators who will filibuster any Supreme Court nomination by Obama. The real question is whether right now Mitch McConnell, as soon as the Democrats threaten to filibuster, he doesn't make them filibuster. So he just folds his tent before he fights. So now the question will be, where is he? He's announced that he won't allow it to nomination to pass. The next president should get the nomination. And I think if he sticks to that, everything will be fine. We will not get a Supreme Court nomination confirmed by the Senate, not one by Obama anyway.
Okay, clarify for all of us, is it a reset nomination or an appointee? And if it's an appointee, how long can that person serve, or is he there?
Just as long as the Senate's in recess.
Only as long. So the advantage of it right now would be to appoint somebody while the Senate is in recess, as they are, and he could be a justice for a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. And the reason being that they would want him, obviously, is for some of the EPA stuff, the immigration case, a number of cases that are needing to be decided. But at that point, couldn't Roberts, as Chief Justice, say we're not going to do anything until we have a or can he delay? Can Robert delay any action in the Supreme Court?
Well, there are two very important cases in front of the Supreme Court right now. One is, of course, the immigration case, which you just mentioned. The other case is this Frederick's case, which was an interesting ruling about whether or not, this is Frederick's v. California Teachers Association, which deals with the mandatory collection of union dues and their use for political purposes. This was challenged by a number of members of the union that didn't want their dues being used for political purposes, i.e. to support Democrats. And the Court of Appeals of the Ninth Circuit upheld the law allowing mandatory collection of union dues and their use for political purposes. Now, that's before the Supreme Court, and that has been argued. If it's been argued, the chances are the vote has already been taken, although the opinion may not have been drafted. So Roberts can, if there's a 5-4 against the unions, that would still be a legitimate Supreme Court decision. And I think the vote has probably been taken. And if it's 5-4 against the union, that would certainly cut the power of public service unions tremendously, and hurt the Democratic Party financially tremendously. I mean, after all, the public service unions are big supporters of Democrats, both financially and in manpower. I mean, they pay, quote, unquote, pay for volunteers to join campaigns. In Wisconsin, the union set in paid thugs to try and intimidate voters in Wisconsin against Scott Walker and both his recall and his reelection. So this would be a big blow to the power of particularly public service unions, unions that represented public employees. But that vote may have been taken, and probably has been taken, and Roberts could go ahead and have assign an opinion to someone, and if it was 5-4 against the union, we're in good shape. But the other problem, of course, is the issue of the issue of immigration and the alleged unconstitutional actions of Obama in terms of granting amnesty. But if it doesn't go to the Supreme Court, the lower court decision would stand.
Which would be the 5th District, which the opinion was written by Jerry Smith, who happens to be a friend of mine.
Yes.
A very interesting situation.
Very.
So, Robert, you're saying that if, in case of a 4-4 tie, the decision goes back to the lower court?
Yes. It's up. The lower court's upheld. Supreme Court doesn't make a decision, will not overrule the lower court. So so right now a 4-4 tie in the Fredericks case would give the victory to the unions. In the Fredericks case would give a victory to the those who have challenged Obama's really unconstitutional use declaration of amnesty. Now, one reason that would not be good, it would be nice to have the Supreme Court decide that case against the Obama administration, because the Supreme Court can get into the issue that Obama has a constitutional duty to enforce the law, which, of course, he's not doing.
Yeah, the other thing that I think people keep forgetting about is we really don't have a 4-4 situation in the Supreme Court right now either. We have a 4-3-1 situation. We never know which way Kennedy's going to go.
Yeah, 4-4-1, right.
Or 4-3-1.
No, it's 4-4-1. Nine judges. Roberts is usually solid.
Yeah, but we don't have nine judges. So if it's eight judges.
Well, right now would be, yes, right now, you're right. We only have, it would be 4-3-1, correct.
And I don't know. I think Kennedy would in some ways play it to the hilt. I that's probably an unfair statement, but I'm not sure that he would necessarily. I can't count him as a conservative at this point.
Well, you know what this puts into this. This makes the Supreme Court front and center an issue for the election coming up. It was kind of an issue that was there at all times, but no one was talking about it. Now they will. I mean, let's face it. Ginsburg is 82. Kennedy is 79. Breyer is 79. And you have, so you have at least, actually Thomas is 67, is the next oldest. But you have three Supreme Court judges. Two of them are leftists. Breyer at 77 and Ginsburg at 82. And Ginsburg's in bad health. And Kennedy at 79. So the chances are the next president will have four if Obama's nominee is not confirmed, the next president's going to have four appointments. And two of them are lefties. One would be, leftist progressives, non-interpretivists, living constitution types. Kennedy, of course, who knows what he is. He swirls around, but he's good on a lot of issues. And then, of course, Scalia was a solid originalist.
I love that term, by the way.
What's that?
Originalist.
Yeah, I mean, Scalia always started with the language of the Constitution and the intent of the founders, and he would be an interpretivist. understanding that times have changed, and you have to interpret the principles in light of the new change. But you start with the language of the Constitution, whereas certainly ever since William Brennan really going a lot back further than that, maybe 1870s, and Oliver Wendell Holmes and those, but this kind of living Constitution idea. I mean, really, this idea that the Constitution is a living document, and I guess William Brennan made it very clear in his 1985 debate with Ed Meese, then the Attorney General, that the meaning of the Constitution cannot be chained to a past which is dead, i.e., a bunch of dead men, and the founders, the framers of the Constitution, should not be able to, as he said, rule us from the grave.
Interesting.
Of course, the Constitution was as Marshall pointed out, and because I'm a professor at Atlanta's John Marshall Law School, as the John Marshall pointed out, the Constitution was made to be permanent, except as amended. You can change the Constitution presumably by amendment, not by judicial fiat. But of course, that's long since gone by the wayside.
I heard a very interesting thing today as well, that one thing Scalia had brought to the court that evidently many, many, many years ago, the justices did ask questions, but in recent history, before Scalia, the justices had gotten to the point that they asked no questions when the advocate or whoever was in front of them presenting a case. They would just listen to the presentation and make a decision, but Scalia, and one of his attorneys that had been his helper or whatever they call them, interns, I guess, said no. He brought, literally from the first day, he brought questions to the table. And I think that would be, to me, that would be extremely important, and he should get kudos for the, I'm sure he will get kudos for that.
Well, I think that's true. I think he reinstituted the tradition of the Supreme Court justices asking many questions and questioning the arguments. But, of course, I think one of the reasons he did that is because the court, starting around 1870, started to drift away from this idea that they were bound by the Constitution. And they, of course, a non-interpretist view of this. The Supreme Court certainly views itself as a superior replacement for the Constitution. And I think there's a lot of scholars who would agree, and certainly Oliver Wendell Holmes and his Life of the Law's experience and what have you was one of the utilitarian doctrines, certainly gave intellectual, let's say, intellectual support for the judges, justices of the court to ignore the Constitution, which they do.
Dan.
Well, Robert, do you have any idea who Obama's might have on his short list to replace Scalia?
Oh, yeah, I think so. The New York Times actually had a list, I think yesterday or maybe today, and there's a number of people on that list, including, I think there's a good chance that this, I don't remember his name, but he's of Indian descent, and I think Obama may go for him. I think the, as I said in the beginning, he's going to go for someone that is both a committed progressive, and it's important to distinguish. I've always thought the typical liberal was just someone who was, you know, like a bleeding heart, but the progressives have an agenda. And remember, the progressive agendas are very faddish. The progressive movement was very big on eugenics. I mean, this whole idea of abortion on demand and all this came out of the eugenics movement, getting rid of inferior races, getting rid of inferior people. I mean, Hitler loved U.S. eugenics movement. He used to invite leaders of the eugenics movement to Germany to discuss, the importance of purifying the race or purifying the population and going forward there. So, I mean, Planned Parenthood was founded by people who wanted to encourage abortion among inferior races, and of course their target initially was African-Americans, black Americans, and they also targeted Italian-Americans, so encourage abortion. So, you know, one fad after another. What's the current fad of progressives? Transsexuals having sex change operations. Never mind that John Hopkins did a study that said people who have sex change operations tend to be more depressed, tend to commit suicide in greater percentages than others, and that we should be treated as a mental problem rather than as a right to go change your sexual identity. I mean, your biological identity doesn't change. You know, your chromosomes are XY if you're a male, XX if you're a female. The brain structure of males and females are different. The hormones are different. You are biologically a male or a female. You can change your plumbing anytime you want, but you're still biologically one sex or another. And people want to wear, males want to wear dresses, that's fine. But if you look at the medical follow-up, it's a disaster. But yet we're out there saying, oh, you're intolerant if you don't want to encourage people to have a sex change operation. It's the latest fad. What was the fad a few years ago? So-called repressed memories. And they went around with children and having children testify against perfectly innocent people about how they were sexually abused because they had repressed memories. Well, it's pretty clear that people don't have repressed memories, that the trauma is not repressed. And there's plenty of literature out there that indicates that this was baloney. Yet how many people suffered from that fad? So it's one fad after another the progressive movement has, and each time it's another disaster for groups of people.
Robert, I got to ask.
The court supports that.
On your list of potentials, is there anyone from that you can think of from the Muslim Brotherhood?
I don't know. Huma Abedin.
Is she an attorney?
Before she's indicted, I don't know. No, Cheryl Mills, I guess, is the attorney. I don't think Huma Abedin is. But, I don't think he'll go quite that far. But he certainly, I wouldn't put it past him.
You don't think Valerie Jarrett's not blowing in his ear right now?
Well, she could be. I mean, and she seems to make most of the policy decisions in the White House, which are then implemented by Obama. I mean, Obama's function seems to be to raise money and give speeches.
Well, you know, I guess he could always, nobody's brought this up to my knowledge, but I guess he could always nominate Bill, even though they don't like each other, but Billy Clinton.
No, that isn't going to happen. First of all, Bill's too old. Obama would want someone who could last for, you know, 25, 30 years on the court. So he would go for someone in his 40s or early 50s.
What do you think this is going to do to the...
I believe this Indian fellow that you mentioned is in his 40s.
I think so. He's mid to late 40s.
What do you think this is going to do to the elections?
Well, you know, I think that if the Republicans don't block the appointment, it could be the breakup of the Republican Party. The Republican rank and file is, I'm so angry. I mean, how else do you explain so many Republicans supporting someone like Trump, who's hardly a conservative, but they like the fact that he's in your face? It depends on how the Democrats and media play it. You know, the media is going to play it to support the Democratic position that it's outrageous the Republicans are being disruptive of the constitutional order, et cetera, et cetera. And since the Republicans are cowards, political cowards, we'll see how many Republicans cave to that kind of pressure. Remember, we have vulnerable Senate seats for Republicans, certainly in Ohio. We look like losers and potential losers in Wisconsin and Illinois. And then we have vulnerable seats in Florida, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, and maybe New Hampshire. So who knows how it'll play there?
Robert, talk to us a little bit about Hillary's situation. Where do you think that's going to head to, and how do you think that's going to be resolved?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. It is the Clintons. The Clintons have had gotten away with whatever they feel like getting away with for years, whether it's taking bribes or intimidating people who Bill Clinton sexually abused or even raped, and Hillary's cover-ups, you know, the old bimbo eruption that was publicized way back when Bill Clinton was running for president. Hillary was put in charge of controlling the bimbo eruption, and I mean, Vanity Fair printed an article by Hillary Clinton, one of the attorneys who worked for Hillary Clinton, who actually spilled the beans about Hillary Clinton, you know, ordering her to go out and intimidate these women into silence, threatening their jobs, threatening their livelihoods. So that's Vanity Fair, hardly a conservative magazine. Someone should go read about that article, and that was many years ago. So I don't know how this is going to play out. I mean, obviously, if someone that weren't was not a Clinton had done what she did, they would have been sent a letter targeting them for criminal investigation by this time. Whom Aberdeen would have gotten that letter? Cheryl Mills, Hillary Clinton. I mean, I think it's still possible that the FBI will recommend indictment. But don't forget, they have no power to indict. That has to be done by the Justice Department.
Yes, right.
Well, Robert, and we're all about the same age. Have you ever seen or did you ever think the country would be in the mess that we're in?
Well, I never thought the country would be a third world country this fast, but when you take a look at who are the serious candidates for president, Trump on the Republican side and Bernie Sanders, who's stuck in the 1930s politically, and Hillary Clinton, who is, looks increasingly like a criminal, we look increasingly like a third world country. And I thought there'd be a few more years before we hit that, but I suppose we're there already. I mean, who could have imagined that the Republicans would put up a celebrity who is not even a conservative and has spent most of his adult life as a Democrat and a liberal Democrat at that? And the Democrats would have no better than a Bernie Sanders and a Hillary Clinton. And their backups, a vice president who's known to, for, let's say, saying silly things. And it's just amazing that we've come to this.
Robert, I want to thank you for coming on short notice and being on the Dan and Dave show. We've got to, as we put it on our show, we got to put the plug in the jug and get ready for the land surveying show which follows. But I do want to thank you, and we'll be talking some more, and love having you on, and hope that you'll come back and visit on the Dan and Dave show again.
Well, I'll be happy to. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Thanks. Well, Dan, it's about...
Yeah, I've certainly learned a lot listening to Robert. Maybe he'll come back and join us sometime, Dave.
I think we can twist his arm into doing it. And like I said, we've got to put the plug in the jug. Dan, thanks as always. Sorry you had some technical problems. We'll talk about it later. And I want to invite everybody to stay tuned for the NSPS Hour following these announcements. Dan, talk to you later.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.